If you will, turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. A hungry wolf started tracking the scent of a deer, and as he followed the deer, he came across the scent of a rabbit. And as he was following the scent of the rabbit, he came across the scent of a mouse. All these distractions. He finally came into the hole that the mouse had escaped in. He ended the day hungrier than when he started. This fable illustrates how oftentimes we spend our lives distracted by this or that. And at the end of the day, we've accomplished very little. In this chapter of Philippians, from verses 10 through 16, we find a focus for one's life. It is a spiritual focus. In verses 13, and Paul said, "This one thing I do." Now, Paul didn't tell us these are 100 things I do or a dozen things, but just this one thing I do. Paul, in these verses, is telling us how he is putting all of his energies into this one thing. Verse 14 says, "Pressing onward to the mark." I personally struggle sometimes with this concept. I get involved many times with too many projects, as Vicki can attest. I've got lumber sitting under a tarp that was bought 3 years ago for the front porch. It's still there. I just moved it from one place to another. I've got painting in the house that was started 3 years ago too. And little by little, I get it taken care of. I end up with all these projects, and sometimes the ones I finish, because I seem I'm so overwhelmed with all the projects, that I don't do those projects very well. There's a German proverb that says, "He who begins too much accomplishes little." I don't know if you're like me or not. There are some who are very organized, who can remain very focused. But at times I have trouble remaining focused on different things. I admire those who can multitask and get many things done. I am definitely not one of those. But looking at Paul's focused life will help, hopefully, all of us. You know, Christ involves more than just knowing about Him. It includes, more importantly, developing a relationship with Him. Paul already enjoyed a special relationship with Christ. But if you look in these passages, you're going to see that he desires to have a deeper knowledge of Him. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. He wants to know the power or the strength available to the Christian through the resurrection. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Words to live by. Words to gather strength and encouragement. It's why Paul was able to write in verse 13 of Philippians 3, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." But at the same time, Paul himself felt the need to be constantly renewed of that strength and power. Paul wanted to know also the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship is a very common word amongst the brethren. It is a sharing. It is a joint participation. We gather in fellowship here today. Paul felt no one could know Christ fully unless he shared in his suffering. Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 17, he said, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, he didn't have his hands pierced or his feet. He didn't have a spear thrust into his side, but he bore the marks of Christ. Thrice shipwrecked. All the things that we find that Paul went through, stoned and beaten with rods, because of his beliefs, because of his stand for Christ. Yes, Paul suffered dearly. But through his suffering, Paul came to understand more clearly what the Lord had suffered for him. Paul concluded his thoughts in Philippians 4 and verse 10 with the words, "conformable unto his death." With the help from the Lord, Paul was dying to himself. Each and every day, Paul was losing Paul and gaining Christ. And that should be our walk and our goal. As we contend for the faith, we should be losing more of ourselves and finding more of Him. This was the reason that Paul said that he was crucified with Christ. Paul allowed the old Paul to die for a new resurrected Paul. Paul's desire to know Christ more fully had at least four facets. It was a personal experience where he said that I may know Him. It was a powerful experience and the power of His resurrection. But it was also a painful experience, the fellowship of His suffering. And it was also the practical experience being conformable unto his death. The beginning of our quest to know Christ is seen in Romans chapter 6. Notice in this chapter the emphasis on Christ's suffering and resurrection and our need to conform to his death. Paul looked forward. He yearned to know Christ in the next life. Maybe that was his impetus. Maybe that was what allowed him to remain focused, because he had that deep, that burning desire to see Jesus. Jesus in John 5 and verses 28 and 29, he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that had done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Paul was looking forward to this, a time when he could fully know Christ. You know, when you read Paul's letters, all of Paul's letters, there are several things that pop out at you. One is that Paul was very bold. He was not shy when it came to proclaiming the truth. He was not shy when it came to correcting error. But more importantly, in all of his letters, you find and see a deep sense of humility. Paul is one of those examples that all Christians should push to the forefront. Humility. I'm not talking about the rolling over and playing dead. But Paul in Philippians 3:12, the kind of humility is found here, not as though I had already attained. Paul knows there's more that he has to do. Paul knows that he is not yet perfect. And he's going to strive to that goal. He had not yet obtained the full knowledge of Christ. I'm sure that there was many things that Paul still did not know, because the Holy Spirit chose not to reveal it even to him. Those things we find that we might be in the dark about, we know that in the end it will all be revealed. Paul is looking for this because he knows that it's going to come at the resurrection. Because he even continued here, either were already perfect. He knew he was not all that he should be or could be. He admitted here that he had room to grow. And that likewise should be our mindset. The Bible, from cover to cover, challenges us to grow. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow. How did Paul cope with not being able to be all that he could be? Verse 13 tells us that he was forgetting those things which were behind. But which things did he forget? If you read earlier in chapter 3, you're going to find some of those things, those past successes. You know, we have a tendency sometimes, we try to forget our past failures. But Paul's also trying to remind us to forget our past successes. Now, we don't want to put them out completely, because sometimes when we succeed in something, we need to keep that model in our head. But Paul is not getting puffed up on his successes. You know, there were times I've heard gospel preachers introduced, and I've heard them say, well, I've baptized over 3,000 souls. To what end? To what point? Does it make you a better preacher? Are you elevating yourself above many others who had not had those opportunities? But Paul was forgetting his past successes so he could move on to new successes. We can't rely on what we've done in the past to get us into the future. We can't allow things that worked yesterday to maybe think they might not work today. When we talk to young people, can we use the same things that we did 30, 40, 50 years ago? In an age where communications has totally 360 degrees changed. You know, I was resistant. You know, when Brother Joel was sitting there and he was going to do this and he wanted to do this and this, and I'm kind of like, I'm not a computer guy. But he's reached a lot of people with our websites and with putting lessons out there for people to hear. Thank goodness he's not making a video recording, because I would put another picture up front here so they're looking at someone different. But we can't always rely on past successes to work in the future. But he not only forgot the past successes, he also forgot the past failures. You know, when Paul was a young man, when he was out there persecuting the Christians, you can rest assured he knew he was doing everything for God. And he knew with all his heart he was doing the right thing until that faithful day on that road when he met Christ. Does he mention it? Yes. He does mention it later, but only a couple of times. He never dwelt on that fact. He moved forward. He moved forward. He admitted that he was not a perfect man. But he did not spend his time regretting. Paul repented and he moved forward. It's human tendency sometimes to let our past destroy our present and our future. We dwell too much on those things, and it holds us back. In Hebrews 8 and verse 12, Paul writes here, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Now, that's Paul's not saying here that we're going to forget all unrighteousness. No. But we're going to continue to move forward. The church could never be pure if we just ignored all unrighteousness. Dwelling on the past, we end up distracting ourselves. And oftentimes we become discouraged. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He's always looking forward to the future. Same be said of us as we strive to faithfully fulfill our mission. We must bring as many to Christ as we can. You know, we had talked about this morning in class about door knocking and how sometimes it can be very discouraging because you can sit there and make your knuckles bare and sore knocking on doors just to have them slammed in your face. And you're going down the street and you keep on knocking on doors until finally you have a door that is opened and you're welcomed in. But if we were easily discouraged, we might never have made it to that one door. In 2 Timothy 4 and verses 7 and 8, Paul at this point in time was sitting in prison. He was awaiting his final trial. And he wanted to let Timothy know here that I have fought the good fight, that I finished my course, I have kept the faith. He wasn't reflecting back about, I should have done something different. I should have never have appealed to Caesar. I should have changed things around and said things a little bit different than when I was in Jerusalem. I wouldn't have been here. I should have just snuck away and hid. But Christ himself told Paul that he was going to suffer for him. But the reward that Paul was looking for is in the rest of the verse. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not only to me, but unto them also that love his appearing." He stayed focused. He was confident when he wrote this to Timothy of what his reward was going to be because he remained focused. You know, Paul had a genuine concern for people. In verse 14 of Philippians 4, we find that Paul was focused on his life, notwithstanding. "You have done well, and you did communicate with my affliction." Verse 14 of chapter 3, he said, I press to the mark. I, me, myself. Here, he shifts the plurality. Verse 15, let us. He wants us all to have the same attitude. He does not want us to think things differently. He doesn't want a mix match, a hodgepodge of ideas. You know, he says, and he makes a gentle correction, that if anything, in anything, ye be likewise minded. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to think like him and work like him and do like him. And then he says, and God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, one trait of immaturity as far as a Christian is the inability to grasp God's Word. We have a tendency at times, because we don't know fully how to understand the Bible, we sometimes, as young Christians, we search the Bible to prove what we believe instead of searching the Bible to do God's will. And sometimes if we don't agree with things, we want to try to change the wording around a little bit to make it sound right. Paul was confident that the brethren at Philippi would get the instruction that they needed to make the proper decisions. You know, one of the benefits of being in the first century church is that you had men who were blessed and given gifts. And while eventually these gifts went away, these men were given gifts to be able to complete God's will, to let them all know, all the churches, God's will. Not just what they believed, but what they were told. They were given the gifts of prophecy. They were given the gifts of tongues. They were given the gifts of being able to teach. They didn't have the Bible like we had today to be able to do those things. They had to be given to them through the Holy Spirit from the hands of the apostles. Verse 16 of chapter 3, Paul finishes up a general command when he says to walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. If we want to be spiritually united, we must have a common authority. Can you imagine going from Church of Christ to Church of Christ to Church of Christ, and we're going by different authorities? And yet we would stand here and say we need to be one, we need to be united. Would the one Lord, one faith, one baptism apply if we all used a different authority? We have a common authority, and it's God's Word. And here in this common authority is God's plan for us. The only thing that God asks us to do with His Word is to obediently follow that Word. And as Barney has pointed out, sometimes it is difficult to understand passages of Scripture. But you will never, ever find contradiction in those words. All those things say is when we find something that's difficult to understand is we need to study a little bit more. God will not hide the true meaning from us. So, brethren, we need to remain focused on the spiritual tasks that are before us. Whether it is we need to be humble and say to ourselves, I don't know enough of God's Word to do what I need to do. I need to spend more time. Or I'm not sure if I can speak to somebody else, but I need to pray for the courage and the power to do those things. To remain focused. You know, we're another month into a new year. And if you made resolutions at the beginning of the year, how many have you kept thus far? Well, the one thing about God's Word is that we can begin today to focus. Matters of life are important. There are many worldly things that we need to make decisions on. But there is nothing more important than following Christ and His commands. If you are not a child of God, we plead with you to seriously think of these things. Put some focus in your spiritual life that you may be able to overcome the world. Be crucified today. Crucify the old man. Bury him today and start your life anew. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can be washed clean of your sins in the past. And then allow each and every one of us here to help guide you in the journey to heaven. We all have a stake in it. And while it is a personal decision, it is a command for all to be able to help one another. Let us remain focused. If you are a Christian, have you lost your focus? You can get it back. You can refocus your life. And you can start today. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we want to give you the opportunity to come forward as together we stand and we sing.